On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
And with that, we're back here on YouTube, Off the Hook Overtime. Emmanuel here, Kyle over there.
Hi.
We have Gila, Rob, and Alex, I believe, out there in Signal Land.
We are here.
Week is correct. Yep.
Right,
yep.
Oh, cool.
What's going on?
All right. Well, it's just a circus around here. We're here on overtime. There won't be an overtime next week, so get your overtime fun in this week. And that could include calling us, but not now because the phone lines are not open yet.
I forgot about that. We take phone calls, don't we?
We do. We take them.
Oh, I should do something.
Wait, why do you have to? I was doing all the configuration just now. We made a reference to it in passing, but yes, hope is imminent. Just under, good Lord, under 3 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah,
I was saying over 2 weeks.
A little over 2 weeks. Oh, my God.
Whatever sounds like more time.
We better start organizing.
Oh, boy.
Wow. All right. We need a place. Oh, we got a place. We got the New Yorker Hotel. It's in New York, by the way. New York City. Yeah, as New York as you can get. Beat that. We have all kinds of fun things happening. You don't know the half of it. There's we have a theater rented out down the street, 34th Street, for a special movie on Friday night. There's all kinds of parties at bars and things going on various times of the weekend. There's I'm not going to go into detail, but there's some kind of a march planned. There are at least one DJ set and, of course, 100 talks of various sorts and workshops and villages and just overall fun. And it'll be great. It'll be like, you know, a reunion after so many years of not being in New York City. I mean, yeah, technically Queens, I know, is New York City, but you know what I mean? Not Manhattan, not Midtown Manhattan, only two blocks away from where we were before. It's incredible. I still can't believe it.
I've been saying surreal because there's sort of familiar elements of it, but also these sort of new aspects. Mm. But it, all the same, really invigorating, or I'm really invigorated by the sort of spirit and people's excitement and plans. So please tell us about stuff that you're thinking about doing by all means so that we can share and sort of... elevate that as we are updating people and sending out general information. But it's starting to look like there might be an event.
I hope so, yes.
I'm very cautiously optimistic. I mean, determinist. I'm not really sure.
Mm.
I think it's good.
It is horribly expensive, though. To do this kind of thing. Horribly expensive, and that's why we need people to buy tickets so that we can afford to do this again. Not only that, but donations to our AV fund, because, boy, that's horribly expensive, too. We have a nonprofit where everything will be tax-deductible, any donation. We also have a continuation of what we started last year with the Hope Scholarships. That's where people donate tickets to others who can't make it to Hope otherwise. And we had a whole bunch of students and other people basically come to Hope last year thanks to the generosity of other Hope attendees, or even people who didn't go to Hope and just donated a ticket. It was great. And you definitely changed some lives. People got to hang out with others who are into hacking and technology. They met people they still talk to. It's an amazing moment when you realize you're not alone, that there are other people out there that don't think it's a waste of time to be messing around with various forms of technology or trying to design things or build things or just even notice things. And if you look at our schedule at hope.net, you will see that we're noticing a lot of things, all kinds of topics being focused on. It's not a security conference. It's not just a tech conference. Sure, there's lots of tech involved, but there's all kinds of other aspects as well, on an international scale, on a social scale. It's just it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And what I mean by that is not necessarily in numbers of people, but in the scope of what it is that we find interesting and that we apply technology to, and various solutions and noticing various problems and things like that. HOPE is a unique conference. It's like no other conference that I've ever heard of that I hear it all the time from other people. That HOPE is unique. It's the closest thing to a European conference in the United States, that's for sure. But it's even unique on that level. So check it out for yourself. It's August 14th through 16th at the New Yorker Hotel, corner of 8th Avenue and 34th Street. Boy, didn't we have the best tacos ever, Kyle? We were there the other day, and there's this taco place almost where Hotel Penn was on 33rd Street. People wait in line for over 25 minutes at least, and by the time you get there, you're even more hungry, but boy, are they amazing. They have these crunchy peppers. Oh, my God. I feel like driving into the city right now just to get those.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're very small street tacos. You can get different tortilla types, and it's just phenomenal, like, to see so many people just grabbing stuff. And, I'm just really thrilled to be back in that area, and there's so many different things to do and try, like, if you're just talking about the food opportunity.
Look, I loved Queens. I did. St. John's was an interesting experience. But I do recognize there were challenges insofar as doing things late at night, insofar as finding food close by. You know, you can basically crawl to a decent food place from any entrance to the hotel. In fact, you can go to the diner that's downstairs 24 hours in the hotel. But every chain you can imagine. But it's not about the chains. It's about the uniqueness. There are all kinds of mom and pop shops and decent food places that you could and don't do the sort of stone at and hit because they're so close by. And it's. I mean, Alex, you can get in your car right now and get those tacos. I mean, why the hell aren't you doing that? Wait, don't get in your car.
There.
You're in. Yeah, walk there. Take a bike. Don't use your car.
Yeah, I could walk there. I could take my bicycle. Yeah, I could literally crawl there from where I am right now. I did have Mexican food for dinner tonight as well. So
this is better.
But
this is better.
Yeah.
One thing.
This was from St. Mark's, actually. Believe it or not, this place. So, but like, I mean, it's a great launching off point. Over at Hotel New Yorker, the New Yorker Hotel, that is, to explore the city. I mean, you're going to be right in the heart of Chelsea. You're going to have so many art galleries just to the south and the west of you. You've got Hell's Kitchen just to the north of you. If you really want to go into Midtown, you know, knock yourself out. But you're going to be really close to the West Village. You're going to be close to Flatiron. I mean, you can really explore Manhattan, and you'll have the subway right there. You just get wherever the hell you want. If you want to go back to Queens, you can do that too.
Yeah, and the way you can go anywhere, really. But the thing is, there's so much. I mean, it's a block away from Penn Station, a block away from all kinds of incredible landmarks. You see the Empire State Building everywhere you stand. It's if you're not from New York, it'll really hit you how awesome this is.
Yeah, the transportation is right around the corner from the building. In fact, like, we were doing some surveying and found subway stops that were in all parts of the area. Like, you can just emerge and be really right on the scene. But it is just a fascinating journey back in time. And we're going to compile some of the different options in the area, and I think you were looking into like a place to get a slice of pizza too. Like,
I think I found the pizza place that used to be part of Hotel Penn. In fact, it was called Little Italy Pizza, if I remember correctly, and then they had two stores at the ground floor of Hotel Penn.
It was on each side, like each avenue.
Yeah, and obviously now it's a crater, so they're not there. But I think they're somewhere else in Manhattan. I'm going to check into this. I'm not going to report on it until I know for sure it's the same pizza because it's very unique.
No, it's each street. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one on 33rd Street. There's one on 32nd Street. I believe.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much great stuff about the area, but I do want to point out for the folks who may not know that if you're not interested in traveling to New York, if you're not interested in traveling to the U.S., which is, you know, a reasonable decision right now, there is also the online registration for the conference in which you can see the talks, you can participate, and you can connect with other folks who are doing the same as you and still be part of HOPE, be part of what gets it, what makes it happen, and, enjoy.
Absolutely, yes. HOPE.net, that's where all the info is. We're going to have tickets available for a little while longer, but please hurry and get those. Also important, if you want to stay in the hotel, they have a discounted rate, and they held it over an extra week for us because so many people wanted to get this, and it really is a last-minute rush. I know there was some trouble with the rooms constantly selling out and people not being able to find the special rate, but I think it's all fixed right now. If it's not, then it will be fixed within a few hours because what they do is they see it sell out and then they add a bunch more and then that sells out. And it just, yeah, they've never seen anything like this before. It's just really kind of crazy. But it's a great place. They really seem to be into hosting the conference and... let's see if we can make it work.
Yeah, we have more than enough to accommodate, and what we put on what we think will be a really fantastic production, really good show. And I've just scratched the surface on looking through the talks myself. I've been so busy, so I'm learning like all these exciting topics that people are covering, and it's just really, really impressive. The thought and spirit of it.
Well, I can tell you about a couple of talks. But first, Gila, you say what you have to say, and then we'll go into a few talks that we are intimately familiar with.
Thank you. I was just going to mention that I had to call the hotel to adjust our reservation, and they could not have been nicer. It could not have been easier. They still do, like, they have reservations people in the hotel, and it's wonderful. And every experience I've had with the hotel, with the restaurant in the lobby, with everything, has just been so delightful. And the rate, correct me if I'm wrong, goes from Wednesday or Thursday to Monday checkout?
I believe so, yes. I believe so. Which is as much time as I think you would maximally spend at the conference that goes from Friday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as far as talks that we're involved in, I know, Alex, you're involved in two talks. You want to tell us about those?
Am I involved in two? I thought I was just involved in one.
Wow. But, okay. You're involved in two talks.
It's been
a while since we've laid this out, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm involved in it, but I'm not giving my own talk.
No, you're a moderator to two talks.
Yeah, but I think one of them is going to be really, really super interesting. Right, we're going to have Emma Best from Distributed Knowledge of Secrets, and we're going to have a couple other journalists, one of whom is Raphael Satter from Reuters. And we're going to be talking about the Epstein leaks with a hacker by the name of Curie. And this hacker, I'm not sure if I'm saying his or her name right, but the hacker was involved in a breach of the Epstein documents and then had handed them over, a bunch of these Epstein files, over to Distributed Denial of Secrets. So this is going to be, I think, a very interesting panel and conversation. And the leaker, the hacker here, is going to be joining us remotely, obviously for security reasons and for protective means. But this is going to be a conversation that's not to be missed. And we're going to be talking about some of the journalism that has come out of the Epstein files. And in particular, I don't know if people have heard about this crazy story that Raphael Satter had covered for Reuters. And it was just fucking insane when you think about it. So it turns out that several years before the Epstein files were released, there was actually a breach at the FBI of the Epstein files themselves, because there was an agent that was working on a lot of these files, and he wanted some, I may be butchering the facts a little bit, but I'm trying to get the gist of it here, but he wanted to engage in some kind of remote work. And so he set up this remote working environment where a lot of these Epstein files and various things were on this server. And, of course, this remotely accessible server wasn't secured properly. Somebody had gained access to the server and then had seen a lot of materials on there that were quite concerning. So the hacker who had breached these documents and records that the FBI itself was hosting was really put off by the fact that there were child sexual abuse materials on the repository of this server, on the data. And the hacker basically sent a message to the person operating the server, which was the FBI, and said, I know what you're doing. I know what you're up to, essentially, the gist of it. And I've seen the files that you have. You're fucked. I'm going to report you to the FBI. When it was the FBI that was actually posting these materials. And so it's an absolutely extraordinary story.
Wow.
Where then the FBI had to convince the hacker who had breached the system that actually, no, we are the FBI. You breached our server. It was a remote access server. And, like, look, here's our credentials. You don't have to report us. What a crazy story.
Wait, were they afraid of being reported? I mean,
I don't know. Right?
Would they also probably receive the call reporting them? It's just, wow.
This is a good question to ask Raphael during the panel. I mean, this one is going to have a lot of, I think, audience participation. I want to make sure that we leave a lot of room for questions from the online audience and the physical in-person audience. There's a lot of talks that I think are going to be awesome and fantastic, and that's one of them.
Uh-huh. The other one is BlueLeaks 2.0, which you're also a part of, and I think MFS is part of that one as well.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And BlueLeaks, of course, is the data repository of stolen police data. And in fact, BlueLeaks 1.0 was really what got distributed on secrets on the map. I think they were one of the first, or I think possibly the only organization that was hosting all of that BlueLeaks data and making it publicly available for researchers and whoever wanted to review that particular information. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting one, too. But far from my panels being, I think, the most interesting, I think having seen a lot of the submissions come in, the several hundreds of them come in,
mm-hmm.
This is an extraordinary lineup we have this year, and it's at the New Yorker Hotel where Tesla lived and died, and there's a vibe there. You feel it. There's something. I think there's magic in the air. I keep saying it. I think this is going to be one of the best hopes yet.
I do, too. I really do. It's got this, I don't know, just this feeling of happiness as far as just here we are again. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. It's not going to be massively crowded. We're going to see to that, because that was a problem we had, in the teens, 18, 16, 14. I think we had too many people. And this place isn't as massive, even though it's twice the height of Hotel Penn. It has enough space for us, and I think it'll be for the people who come. I think they'll cherish it because they'll have much more access, and they won't be crowded out of things. That's really important to us. One of the other talks, the one that I'm involved with, is with Rinaldi Santiago. I don't know if you remember him. He played Phantom Freak in Hackers, and he's going to be on stage telling stories about that production, about other things he's been up to. I was a consultant in that film, so I've got some memories of it as well. We're trying to get some other people who were involved in addition, so that's going to be interesting. That's going to be fun, and it's weird because if you go back to the very first Help Conference, which was 1994 at Hotel Penn, we had a hackers panel. We had a panel where the writers, producers, director, I think, was even there. In 1994. So the film came out in 1995. They were filming it around that time, and we had a blast. We had such a blast. So we're going to tell a bunch of stories and live some memories, maybe inspire some new productions. That's just a very small slice of what's happening The conference is going Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got to cram as much as we can. We've got workshops. We've got villages. We've got a fourth track where people can basically on the spot sign up for something and give an impromptu talk. We have the ham radio exam, which I understand, Alex, you're going to be taking. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's still my intention. If anybody's wondering.
All right, cool. We're not going to let you forget this. We're going to make sure you take that test. No chickening out of this.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we will see. I mean, I'd be deeply embarrassed if I fail it. But
if anybody asks, I'm going to say, I think Alex is taking the ham exam.
Yeah, if you think it's as easy as the law exam, you really need a reality check. I'm just saying that right now, so you're not shocked.
The bar exam, I'm sure, was simple compared to the ham radio exam here. So I'm an operator. I'm looking forward to it, and everybody's very excited about welcoming me into the ham community, and I'm excited to join it too.
Gila.
Great.
Go ahead, Gila.
So I did want to just say that, first of all, I'm glad that the Phantom Freak has gotten out of jail in time to attend the panel. So that's one thing. I did want to point out one other piece of the schedule, which is Saturday night.
What's happening Saturday night?
Yeah.
HGT.
We're all going out dancing.
The 10th anniversary edition of HGT. And
what does that stand for?
It stands for Hackers Got Talent.
Oh, cool.
And,
you know it.
Rob and I are going to be your intrepid hosts this year, shall we say? I would like to issue a challenge for Hackers Got Talent, because there's a particular talent I would like to see.
What is it?
Yeah.
I would like to see someone speed identify area codes.
All right, well, don't look at me. I could do that once, but there's all these crazy-ass area codes now that shouldn't be area codes. I mean, what's the newest one that they have in Manhattan now? Was it 929? Was that the newest one, or is there another one now?
I mean, 929's not Manhattan. We have a 929 phone number.
Nobody even knows where they belong. Nothing's geographic anymore. People call you from, like, you know, various area codes. You think they're in Los Angeles, and they're next door to you. You know, how are you supposed to handle that?
Well, you know, it's a fun thing. So, I did want to push through a couple of questions from our current audience. We had a question. Are we the whole hotel yet?
Are we what now?
Are we the whole hotel yet?
What does that mean? Are we the whole hotel?
Are we the whole hotel? Are we more of the rooms than not?
We're the biggest group in that, but I don't think there's another group in there. And there's certainly more people in the hotel. It's a big hotel. There's well over 1,000 rooms. It's bigger than Hotel Penn as far as amount of rooms. We're not taking up 100% of the space, but we're taking up a sizable amount of it. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that was question number one. Question number two, does the hotel rate include late checkout on Sunday?
That you'll have to ask them. We're not in the hotel business. I'm not sure. But I'm sure they can arrange that. I can tell you it includes free phone calls anywhere in the world, which I never thought would happen in a hotel. And Wi-Fi, I believe, is also free. So you have all that. It's really kind of cool.
And
get on the phone and call Botswana from your room and stay on the phone all weekend long, and it's free.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Are there still 976 numbers? Could we call a 976 number?
Are there still 976 numbers?
I'm asking.
That's an
excellent
question.
Okay, who can name all four of the premium exchanges?
Well, 30.
You have 30 seconds.
Are you thinking of 1-900 as well?
No, I'm not. That's an area code, Alex. Area codes.
976.
Area codes go before the exchange.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah, that was exchange.
Yes, this is local.
I think I only remember 976. Was there 576 too?
No, and you're eliminated with that guess. Rob, Gila, any guesses from you?
I also only remember 976.
Rob, you should know this. You should know this. Yeah, come on. I think we talked about it during our first show in the 80s. No, Kyle, you're exempt because you're from Seattle. I don't know what
can I also be exempt?
I don't know what they do out there as far as premium service numbers. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't live in earshot of the show in the 80s.
Yeah, but somehow you know everything about New York, so I don't know. It's like you've always been here.
This is true, but yeah, I'm off my game. I can't bring up the other ones.
Okay, so there was 976. That was the weather and the sports. I don't know what else there was. There were all kinds. 976, 1212, and 1313. I think they all pretty much went like that. 1414. There's got to be a guide somewhere to what they were. I know they didn't use all the numbers, but they would charge a certain amount. You know, it wasn't a lot. It was like maybe a quarter or something, which, you know, to a kid was a lot when you found out that all the times you called Santa Claus, it cost money. then there was 970, which was introduced later on, and that was mostly for sex lines and other, like, really expensive calls. Like, they could be, like, you know, $5 a minute. It was ridiculous. And they got quite popular. They were advertised all over the place. Then there were two others, 540 and 550. And I think 550 was mostly conference calls. You would basically just connect to other similar interest people.
Party lines.
Party lines. And, you know, we would do the same thing at BAI with our 10-line phone. We just keep pressing the buttons and everybody would be able to talk to each other. And I think our first show in 1988, we did just that. We had a 3-hour show in the middle of the night, and we just had all these people connect to each other. It's still online. Go to 2600.com/off the hook. You can hear the first show. And memory escapes what the difference between 540 and 970 was. I'm sure if Rebel were here, and he's not, he's in Europe, I think, he would tell us. Maybe he would tell us. But those were four interesting exchanges that I don't think exist anymore.
Well, what about as a premium exchange? Would 555 qualify? Because 555-1212 would result in a premium charge.
Well, hold on a second, Alex, before you spread misinformation around. 555-1212 is another way of dialing 411, both of which are directory assistance or information. And that used to not cost anything for a long, long time until they decided to start charging for it. And then it became something that was indeed a premium. I wouldn't call it a premium. It just was a ripoff. And calling any area code, 555-1212, also used to be free. And that was awesome, because that's kind of how I cut my teeth in exploring the phone system. I would call, you know, an area code. You'd hear this hiss, which was long distance kicking in, the trunk lines and all that. And you'd wind up talking to an actual information operator pick up. Not a computer, an information operator. And, you know, in high school, we'd just ask how the weather was or something, you know, crazy like that. And just relish the fact that we're talking to somebody so far away. And then we realized we could do it in Canada as well. And the real cherry on top of everything was realizing that international information was also completely free. You couldn't dial it direct. You'd have to call the operator and say, I need directory assistance in Jordan or something, and they would connect you. And you'd hear all kinds of phone sounds. On one of my first radio shows, Voice of Long Island on WUSB, which is also on 2600.com, we would call international operators all the time. We'd be always looking for Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli. And we almost found it once. I think in Madagascar, the operator said, oh, yes. but no, it wasn't that. But the sounds that got captured and recorded, they're priceless. You can't find those unless you're listening to Evan Doorbell's recordings. But I think some of the things we did, even he didn't do. So, yeah, you know, those exchanges, they led to all kinds of exploration, and it really mattered. Gila.
Rebel has actually written in and said 394 was the smaller one.
394, that's one I never understood, but that was sort of a premium exchange.
And 955, he said, is an exchange that radio stations have.
Yeah, 955 was like a mass exchange. So if a radio station was having a contest, they would say, call 955 WBAI or something, and that you could handle 1,000 calls at once. You'd have to have the hardware on the other end to handle it, but the switch itself was designed to handle a massive amount of calls coming in. So that's what 955 is all about. I don't think it caused any extra to call that exchange, though. That might still exist.
We do have a few people who mentioned Miss Cleo. I would like to mention the people I worked with who prank called me once with a Miss Cleo soundboard until they started laughing too hard and they had to hang up the phone.
Mm.
So that was super fun. Incredibly annoying. And someone just wrote in and said the information numbers had a hidden test trunk that you could access with DTMF tone D.
That's true. That's true. I don't think you could do it locally. I think you had to call something with an area code. But if you lean down on the D key, which is the missing fourth row of touch tones to the right of 369 pound, we call them A, B, C, D, and in the military they had different names for them. But if you leaned on the bottom right, which was D, you would hear a pulsating dial tone, and you would be able to connect to somebody else who did the same thing, and that didn't cost anything. And it was really cool to talk to somebody that you didn't know who it was or where they were. Yeah.
Speaking of talking to folks, do we want to invite folks to talk with us tonight?
I suppose we do. We can do that.
I know, we're having fun.
So I'll give out the phone number, and I'll activate the phone line.
All right.
I will say that you can join in our conversation with the United States telephone number 802-321-4225. That's spelled out 802-321-HACK. And get in touch with us and tell us what's on your mind.
There are no operators standing by because they don't exist, but the phone will ring and we'll try to pick it up. And, well, there it goes right now.
Oh, so what am I?
I guess you're the person pressing the button, which is the closest thing to an operator we have. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hook Overtime.
Wow. I hear myself. This is what I sound like to people?
This is what I sound like to people?
Okay. That's what's happened to the phone system of today. That's the quality of conversation you get. Man, it just used to be so different.
Good listener.
You want to try this one? All right. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. I can't believe it. I just I am enjoying the skit about the 976 numbers. It reminds me of a more innocent time. I don't remember if it was 976-1616 or 1212. You could call and be told what time it was.
Oh, yes. The time. Or as they say, in England, the speaking clock.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And well, I mean, now it's redundant because everybody, or almost everybody, not me, has a cell phone in their pocket that tells them exactly what time it is at any time.
But back then, you maybe a wristwatch, but you know that could be wrong if you didn't wind it. So you need to call something. Or maybe you turn on WCBS News Radio 88 before they got taken off the air. And they'd give the time every now and then. Or if you didn't live in New York, what'd you do? You have to call a number to find out what time it is. Same thing with the weather or the sports scores or whatnot.
Exactly. I don't remember if I think I listened yesterday to either Overtime or the actual show. No, it wasn't the actual show last week because it's a pain in the ass to get on the archives. Did you discuss the, which I missed, obviously, did you discuss the AI going off the ranch, supposedly?
You know, I don't think we ever got to that story. Does somebody want to talk about that? Apparently not. Nobody wants
to talk about it. Is this a security tool escaping OpenAI?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one.
Yeah, kind of scary, running down the block and like breaking into something else.
Is that the one you're...
Yes.
Do you want to tell us about it, caller?
Well, I mean, apparently the update to the story yesterday was that it didn't happen just once. It happened again and again. And, you know, it's hard to tell. That was also the take on the stories that I read. Whether this is a publicity stunt on OpenAI's, which is the company where apparently the jailbreak happened, or it's a real story. I tend to think that it may be a little bit of both, because, you know, this is a perfect 2001 Space Odyssey HAL type of story, which is going to tickle everybody's fears. But it might have also happened. I mean, somebody had to instruct this agent, right, to say, try to do this. Because apparently, as far as I know, artificial intelligence doesn't think on its own yet. I thought you might have gone to town with this. I'm surprised you didn't.
Well, you know, all the mainstream is talking about it, and I think we spend most of our time just correcting all the things that they would be getting wrong. We only have a few minutes every week to talk about various other things.
I'm just expressing surprise because I thought it would have been a story that would have interested you in some capacity.
Oh, it did. Wow. It's in our list.
Yeah, we did see it. Sometimes we let the dust settle, you know, and then get to it a little bit later when there's been a little bit more reporting.
Yeah.
But
that's the sound of all the stories I didn't get to this week. You know, I have a whole stack of papers. We could be on the air for 6 hours talking about these things, but sometimes we get into an argument or a debate, and that, you know, everything else just falls apart, and we don't get to it.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. I see what you're doing. See, this is what I have to deal with.
Good. No, when I saw the story, which was very fresh yesterday, of the Homeland Security forcing this poor punter to erase his phone to avoid self-incrimination, I thought that you would immediately jump on it, as you rightly did.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good thing, and it's a great thing that you have a lawyer on staff, which provided some interesting insights that I and probably many people would have not thought of on their own. And especially, you know, it sort of dovetails with Fauci, as you rightly pointed out.
The Fifth Amendment was in the air today. It just felt right.
Well, listen, that's pretty much all that is on my mind. Oh, is there still time to propose seminars for the HOPE?
Oh, I don't think so. But, I mean, there you can have a fourth-track talk. If you come to the conference and sign up, you can give a talk in the fourth track. That's the unscheduled track.
Okay. And how much will that set me back? That's one thing you haven't said on the radio or even here.
Well, we don't give out prices on the radio, but the conference is $250 for the weekend.
Okay. So and that is full access to the entire
to all the tracks, all the workshops, all the villages, and whatever else happens in that space. Plus, you know, you have all this activity happening around you that we can't even predict what it's going to be.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we're trying to get people to tell us what they're planning on doing because there's so much activity.
I just keep hearing from people that I haven't seen in years saying, oh, I'm coming to this one because, you know, it's in the right place. It's conveniently located. It's fairly cheap to stay in as far as hotels in Midtown Manhattan. It's pennies, you know.
This, as Alex rightly pointed out, Tesla did live and die right in there.
Yeah.
I don't think he died there, but that's, you know, the fire happening there.
There's two rooms. Each has a plaque. I'm not sure if he lived in one and died in the other or how that works exactly. I think they were connected before they separated them. It's definitely a bit of history, and I'm glad the hotel is thoughtful enough to preserve it. Also, there's a museum downstairs that goes into this and a whole lot more of the history of the hotel. So that's definitely worth a check. It's right next to the gym.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Great. I've been going to that hotel for work reasons to interact with guests, but groups stay there, especially foreign groups, or used to. I haven't been there in a number of years.
I'm embarrassed to say I'd never been in the hotel until this year.
Oh, wow. It is a fascinating place. I mean, as I said, I haven't been there in many years, but the security arrangements they had, it's basically like a maze, and different entities operated on different floors.
Yeah, which, you know, it's just like Hotel Penn in that regard, because that was, there were mazes everywhere, different organizations on different floors, except there's a whole lot more floors in this one.
Yes, indeed. Well, best of luck, guys. I hope it's going to be a smashing success, and many happy returns.
Well, thanks. We look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, I'll clear the line so someone else can talk.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
802-321-4225 is our telephone number.
Oh, yeah. I'm still thinking about Hacker's Got Talent.
I'm very excited. I also have another question. By any chance, was the place you went Tacos Del Barrio?
Yes.
Well, you left out the number one part.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, number one. But yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's Tacos Del Barrio, which is at 270 West 39th.
No.
Tacos number one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost Tacos.
Lost Tacos. You want more
number
than
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost Tacos
so number 33rd one.
33rd Street, just west of 7th Avenue.
Okay, because I think, call me crazy, I think Tacos Del Barrio might be even closer.
Uh-huh. I don't see how 39th Street gets closer than 33rd Street to 34th Street.
Touche.
It's fantastic.
It's all math, you know? New York is a very mathematically oriented city.
It is. I also would like to mention one thing, mm-hmm. which is that one thing I personally would like to do, and I believe I've mentioned this, is that there is a place that is one avenue away called the Break Bar, which is, I think, going to be a lot of fun. And I'm interested in checking that out on Saturday night. So
tell us about the Break Bar, because we've gotten, you know, I meant to mention this, too. I should have mentioned that on BAI. But there is a bar called the Taylor Public House,
mm-hmm.
and its address, and Alex, you'll like this, its address is 505 8th Avenue. Does that address ring a bell to you?
That was the location of WBAI in the 90s.
That's right. The 17th floor of that building? And bar is not up there. The bar is on the ground floor. But still, it's the same damn address. And I thought that was amazing. And that's one of the bars that we're recommending to people. There are other bars as well. But, Gila, can you tell us about this Break Bar?
I will absolutely tell you about the Break Bar. But there is one piece of information about Los Tacos number one that I do feel honor-bound to share.
Please.
Which is that the beans and the flour tortillas at Los Tacos number one have lard in them. So for the vegetarians, that's not a friendly place to be.
It's the best lard I've ever had in my life then.
So for those of us who are not lard consumers, that is just something to be aware of.
And if you are a lard consumer, though, be prepared to wait at least 25 minutes online for these things. It's really incredible, though. You saw this place when they... Okay, every time something happens near Penn Station, you see this place. When the LIRR was on strike and everybody was walking around and carrying picket signs, they were walking around right outside that taco place. And there's a reason for that, too, because they're not stupid. They knew that when they got their break, that's exactly where they were going. And actually, you know, walking around circles counts as being online for you know, a good part of that. Also, when the Knicks were playing, you saw them there, too. It was right by one of the viewing areas. And the World Cup, you just see them all the time.
They have cactus tacos.
I'm not sure if that has lard in it as well.
It does not, but the beans do.
Well, just get the chili peppers in. They're free. They're crunchy and they're free.
Fantastic. The Break Bar.
Yes.
The Break Bar is on 9th Avenue, and the deal with the Break Bar is when you get a drink, you are then cordially invited to go to the throwing area and break your glass. It's like axe throwing, but easier when you're drunk. And it, you can get like one of the specials there is a bucket of empty bottles.
What inspired this, I wonder?
I mean, for me to be interested in it?
Are these the angry people who started this bar, or what exactly prompted them?
It is an excellent question. I'm assuming it's just a letting off steam kind of situation, and I'm tremendously excited. So
yeah, this is something we'll be checking out.
This is definitely something we'll be checking out.
Well, I don't do bars, but I'm about to do this one.
The glass companies must love them because they keep restocking constantly.
Absolutely, and you know one of the specials they have is a pickleback. I'm a huge pickleback fan.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
And they're like, hey, if you get a pickleback, it comes with two shot glasses to break.
Wow. You can really hurl a shot glass far.
Yeah. So I'm very, very excited about this little excursion, and we're going to have a good time.
A shot glass doesn't break when you drop it on the ground, though. You have to throw that with...
you have to throw it hard against the wall.
Yeah.
It requires intent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll definitely be there to throw... Can you bring your own glasses? You have to get their glass.
You know, I don't know if you're allowed to bring in your own breakables.
Mm.
I guess we can try to find that out. But, yes, I'm so psyched to get to go to Break Bar.
Only in New York. Do we have a call? We have a call. I'm sorry, caller. We left you on hold for a very long time. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead. Speak. They fell asleep, I think. Is somebody there? Oh, that's sad. Okay, well, let's take another one. 802-321-4225. And if you do get put on hold, try to stay awake or don't wander away.
It happens.
I'm realizing now how much fun Hope is going to be because we've been working constantly, you know, and it's been one challenge after another. But talking about these things makes me realize, yeah, it's going to be a blast as well. Hopefully we get to experience some of that, but mostly, you know, it's for the people coming to New York, and just being a part of a unique event. That's, you know, to us, that's success. Because these places are always here.
Yeah, you're going to be in close quarters, you're going to contact, you know, make contacts, network, you know, those, like, conversations all the way around, from the diner, you know, out on the street, from some of these other events, but you just... have this opportunity to mix it up and meet people, socialize, and talk about some of these things, talk about things that you're interested in, or listen, you know, hear what people have been going through, hear what they're building, hear what they're trying to organize and raise awareness about.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Yes, who's this?
Yes. Let me take that phone call, of course.
Wait, is this Rebel?
Yeah, of course.
Well, Rebel, where are you?
I am in Geneva, Switzerland.
Wow, it sounds very mysterious where you are. What's going on over there in Geneva?
Well, you know, there's a big delay here. I mean, you know, it's like the internet, you know, I have T-Mobile, so the internet is fast. I mean, it's 10, 20 megabits a second, but the delay, it's just like... uh-huh. 100 milliseconds, and that's why, you know, like when I'm listening to this live show, and, you know, it's like 5 seconds later, and maybe even more. And
how do you know it's five seconds later? You're listening to the show.
I don't. I'm listening on my phone, so, uh-huh. You know, so when I listen on the phone and then go to the app to call, I can't hear the show, so.
Wow.
Unless I act like a laptop, but I'm not going to lug a laptop to hear it. But,
well, I do feel like you're in the past a little bit, you know, that I'm talking to somebody who hasn't heard the news.
Well, what have you been doing? Well, yeah, how was your day? What are you up to?
It's not day there anymore. It's actually
in the morning here.
Yeah, of a different day, right?
How was the previous day? What have you been up to?
Well, the previous day I spent in the Swiss Alps. You know, I was up in the mountains and...
Oh, did you find your way out?
I rode a gondola up to the mountain, and that was interesting.
You're supposed to ride those in water.
Gondola? I think, doesn't gondola mean cable car or something?
What are they?
It is a gondola. That's a cable car. Yeah.
They're interchangeable, but yeah, in this case, yeah.
The things you get in Venice, aren't those gondolas?
They're also called gondolas. Yeah.
Well, that, you know, Venice, well, that's where it'll be next week.
Well,
so.
Don't be confused when you see gondolas there, because they operate on a different premise.
You know, I'm almost afraid to go in one because it's like, so small, you've...
Mm.
What if you, like, tip over and...
Yeah, one false move.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what have you done so far besides get lost in the Alps?
Let's see. Well, tomorrow I'm going to, today is tomorrow, so I'm going to France.
Oh, France. I've heard of that.
Yeah. So,
that's cool.
Just to, you know,
I should point out that France is on fire right now. That's something you might want to...
Hopefully not the part I'm going to.
Well, an increasing amount is. It's really kind of messed up. Alex, you have
a question? Are you heading to Lyon? Is that where you're going, if you're in Geneva?
No, that's too far. I was going to go there, but that's just... It's going to take like 3 hours by train. And it's just... I'm just going to go take a bus to where the border town is and, you know...
A 3-hour train ride in France is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Get a little baguette and some wine and just watch the world go by and hopefully stay out of the fire.
Yeah, and let's see, and then tomorrow, the next day, I'm going to be going to Bern, Switzerland, which is the capital.
Well, you say going back to Switzerland after leaving Switzerland.
Very cool.
Well, I mean, staying there for a day and then going to Zurich and leaving from there to go to Milan, Italy.
Okay, all right. Milano is how they refer to it.
Yeah, Milano.
You know, you can catch the Eurostar there? You can catch the Eurostar in Milano.
Right, but I'm not taking that train. I'm taking the...
Oh, but I fooled you. It's not the Eurostar you're thinking of. It's a different Eurostar. It's the Italian Eurostar.
Yeah, that train Italia or Italia, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, coming over here was, I flew Swiss Airlines. I had to say, I come to Switzerland just to see, nice... Well, things are good. They're expensive here, but I'll get to that in a minute.
You've experienced that. Have you had a $60 sandwich yet?
I had a $50 hamburger, rice, and soda. Oh,
wow. Okay. Welcome to Switzerland, then.
Yeah, that $30 egg and cheese and bottled water.
Yeah, Switzerland basically is founded on the premise of, let's see what we can get away with, and so far they're doing pretty good.
The airline is, in fact, great, but they don't have plugs on there. You can't plug your phone into... They only have USB-A plugs.
Yeah, that's a close second in complaints as far as, what Switzerland is known for.
They have no... The internet is terrible. I mean, I think the Turkish airline is the best airline, that I've flown.
Well, you got to try them all, You got to try them all and realize one might be having a bad day, so try them a few times each. Then make your judgments.
Right. So
you're in a place where you have to talk quietly, right? Because you've never talked this quietly before.
Well, I mean, it is 2 o'clock in the morning here.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, I can sing on my balcony.
Well, I don't know if you could do that here.
There's only one way to find out.
So Italy is next week. That's... interesting.
And what week hope is, right? When to be in New York City.
I'm coming back the 13th of August, and hope is that next day. So.
Next day is pretty close, Rebel. Pretty damn close there. If you get a delay, it's not going to be any wiggle room.
I know. I want to give a talk on CB Radio.
Okay. Well, you sign up for that fourth track, or you'll be giving the talk out to the street.
Right.
All right. Which is fine, we can take the street too.
People have been asking, in the chat, I should give a talk, and I think CB radio is an interesting topic to talk about,
All right. I think it's time for you to go to bed because it's late over there.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling though. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, when the jet lag and when you come to a new place, you just, so excited to being there, and you sleep for a few hours, and it's like you're just too excited to sleep. You just want to explore. And
well, the way I do it is, I usually can't fall asleep on the plane, and since virtually every plane to Europe goes overnight, leaves at like 6 o'clock or something, I just wind up staying up until we land, and then it's like 7 in the morning, and I'm really, really tired, but I'm able to soldier through the day for a little bit, and then I'm, like, conked out at, like, 8 o'clock. And then I wake up at a decent hour the next day, and I'm actually on a better schedule there than I am here.
Well, that's what I did. That's what I did, you know. What I do is I set my, phone clock to Washington time and New York City time and the local time, so I know that, it's 2 o'clock in the morning here, but I know it's 8:30 or 8:45 there. So
it's a time is a weird thing.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? They speak French here, and I use the translate app sometimes. I'll be speaking French tomorrow.
Well, many of them speak English, but when you go to France, at least try to speak French. They prefer that.
Well, I mean, I just use the translate app.
Well, cool. Again, good hearing from you, and we look forward to hearing how it turns out.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Good night, then.
All right. Bye.
Wow. That was Rebel calling us from Switzerland. We can't take another call right now, at least temporarily, because Kyle has left the room. There's some business that needs taken care of. That's urgent. So we need to talk amongst ourselves until he gets back. Can we do that? Do you think we can actually find something to pass the time with?
I believe in us. But
all right.
May I say, can I share a comment?
Yeah, please.
One of the people in the chat said, Switzerland is expensive, but the flag is a big plus.
Because it's square, right?
And it's got a plus.
Because it's a plus sign.
Oh, I see. It's a big plus.
It's a
big plus.
But it's a square. It's not a rectangle. It's a square.
It's a square, but it's got a plus sign on it.
Yeah, that's nice, too. It's a big rectangle.
We enjoyed
there was laughter here.
I always thought it's because they have a decent medical system. I thought that's why it's kind of boasting about that.
That and the chocolate.
I used to work out of Geneva quite a bit. I found it not an ideal place to live. I mean, it's so insanely expensive. And my old company wanted me to move from New York to Geneva.
Uh-huh.
I just flat out refused. I was like,
Are they going to pay you, Swiss salary?
Yes.
So what you do is you go there, say, okay, but then you sneak back. But you're actually working in New York, which is cheap in comparison. But they're paying you in Swiss francs or whatever they used.
Yeah. I don't think it would have worked out for me all that well there with family and stuff, but it's an interesting city. There's a lot going on there, but it's unless you're like living off the teat of an IGO or some kind of oligarch or money launderer, it's an insanely expensive place to live.
Yeah, there aren't nearly enough of those around who really make it worth our while.
The first time I went to Switzerland, though, and I rented a car, I remember driving around and thinking, like, man, these people just drive so fucking slowly. Like, what is it about these people, right? Like, they really follow the speed limit. They're always
They obey rules. They believe in that.
They're very, very rule-following people. They're very on the rails, right? And then I realized maybe like a month and a half after I got home to New York why everybody was driving the speed limit and things, because the speed enforcement there was just all through speed cameras that I had set off, like, one after another after another after another, like, all throughout Switzerland. I had collected these massive fines. And, so that was fun. So
there was probably a newspaper article about you and your one-man crime wave throughout the country.
Wouldn't be surprised.
But the other thing in Switzerland, what I found interesting is, you get on the tram and they were all digital, and they would all arrive the very minute they were supposed to arrive. But not only that, they would tell you the connecting trams on the stops that you hadn't arrived at yet and the time those other trams were going to arrive at those stations that you weren't at. And they really get upset if anything is even 1 minute late. It's really, it's a different place.
Yeah. I mean, and they apparently, fairly recently,
got so fed up with waiting for the German trains, because you would think that, you know, the Germans, known for precision and engineering, they're known all throughout Europe as having the worst trains, like the worst train service. It's always late for some stupid reason. The Swiss have started to refuse to just wait for the German trains because they're making their own trains late. They just leave without them now.
What do you mean they leave? How do you leave without a train you're waiting for?
Well, they're not using that same train, so the passengers are supposed to transfer from one train to the other, from a German train to a Swiss train.
Okay.
Swiss trains are fed up waiting for the German trains. They just keep going.
Oh, you mean it's like when the two train doesn't wait for the one train. The two train just says, fuck you, I'm leaving. And the one train just sitting there for another 20 minutes when all the guy had to do was leave the door open for another 30 seconds. Would it have killed him? Yeah. It's like that?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. But, you know, two trains, like, that's Switzerland, you know. They're on the express track. They got to get a move off.
Gila, you have your hand up. This isn't cool.
I do indeed. I'm pushing through a question from the chat, which is, has Emmanuel or any other hosts been to any African or Asian countries?
I've been to Asian countries. I regretfully have not yet been to an African country. I'd love to go to Kenya. I'd love to go to Tanzania. Even Morocco I'd love to go to. I don't know why I said even. It's just different. It's not. It's so close to Europe. But I've been to a lot of countries in Asia. I've been to China. I've been to Japan. Been to North Korea. I have not been to South Korea. I've been to Malaysia and Singapore and Mongolia. I think I've listed everything. I've and the Asian part of Russia. If there's anything else, I'm blanking on it. But that's
if you go back to Malaysia, you know how to say crazy in Malay.
Do I?
You do. We learned this last week.
Oh, okay.
Gila.
Oh, right. Okay. You should be happy I forgot that.
Sorry, I have this horrible habit of just reminding people of the things I should probably let them forget.
I've been to Africa, though. I've been to Tunisia.
Okay, I'd like to go there, too.
North Africa.
All right.
Yeah, it's great. Even Tunisia, you visit?
I would go to Tunisia for sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely. It's close to Europe as well. It really is close to Europe.
It's very close to Europe.
You just take a ferry over, and there you are.
You could, yep. I mean, and in lots of places on the northern coast of Tunisia, they'll speak Arabic and Italian.
I think I'd say even because it's too easy to get to, you know, whereas the other ones, you have to make a real commitment. You know, if you're going to Kenya, you can't just get on a boat from Italy and go there, you know.
And so technically, while I was in Tunisia, we were in the mountains and apparently crossed over the border into Algeria for a little bit. So maybe I've been to Algeria as well. And then when I was on the other side and going past driving through these towns like Gabez and things, it really drove far into the Sahara, too, into these weird little towns, like very, very untouristed little towns in the Sahara where that, like, it was great, crazy experiences over there. Very interesting place. And then it was weird to drive and see signs for Libya and Tripoli. Be like, oh, make a right, and you're on your way to Tripoli. It's like, Jesus, wow, it's kind of a strange road sign to see a sign for Tripoli.
You sure it's Tripoli, Libya, because there's other places called Tripoli. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Tripoli, Libya. Yeah.
May I ask what you were doing driving in the Sahara?
Just exploring a bit. Just checking it out.
Checking out the Sahara Desert? Okay.
Yeah, so it was a kind of random thing too because I flew to Tunis. I only really had 2 days planned with a friend of mine, John. We wound up meeting some French woman who hooked us up with these guys from whom we could buy a rent a car for a while, and then we just decided build an itinerary around the coast. We were kind of going straight down, seeing a couple of sites and various things, but then getting to this tiny little town called Douz, D-O-U-Z. And then this French woman had told us about a town that was farther in. I think it was Douz, but it was called El Farwa. And that was a crazy town because it was really like in the Sahara. It was extremely inhospitable when the wind was blowing because that Sahara sand is so fine. It gets into every bit of you. I mean, you get it on your eyelids. It gets into your contacts. It's awful. But we made friends with the guys in the hotel at night, and they had taken a liking to us, and we just bought a whole bunch of bottles of wine. I mean, like, the most expensive bottles of wine in there were, I think, $8. That was, like, the top-shelf stuff that you would buy at a hotel. It was $8. So we got a whole bunch of wine, and we hung out with the hotel staff, these dudes, and we built a fire with them out in the desert. So we built this fire, and we're just hanging out with the hotel staff, having a whole bunch of wine in the middle, not in the middle of the Sahara, but I mean, you're in still in the Sahara, so there's no lights around. The stars are incredible. And then we had this crazy experience, which, if that wasn't enough, they said, you know, there's a guy who's a Berber, kind of like one of the old nomadic peoples that lived in, still lives in Tunisia. And he said, you know, there's a Berber that lives like, maybe like a half a mile or a couple, less than half a mile away. And they could take us there in the desert.
In the middle of the night?
In the middle of the night.
Is he going to appreciate that?
Well, that's where this is going a little bit. So we eventually get there, and you see he's got like some kind of lights on and things in this hut that he lives in the middle of the desert. And as we're walking over there, these two dogs run out from the tented area, and they look very mean, and they're barking and racing over to us. And I'm like, oh, shit, we're going to be attacked by a fucking dog, a Berber's dog in the desert now. This is insane. You know, it's not going to be a good way to go. And then he came out, and he called off the dogs, like, I don't know, 15, 20 feet before they got to us. And they stopped, they listened to him, and then he recognized it was the guys from the hotel. And we hung out with this guy in the desert who was a Berber, and we drank wine with him, and gave us this very strange tobacco. It was good.
I didn't think there was a lot of wine drinking in the Sahara Desert.
You'd be surprised. These guys had no problem consuming alcohol with us. It was, they could throw it down as well.
Wow.
But El Falwar was the town. It was a very, very cool town.
You'll have to show it to me someday because it sounds fascinating. And how long ago did you go there?
God, it was about 15 years ago. Okay. It was when it was still under the rule of Ben Ali, the dictator. So, because the Arab Spring started in southern Tunisia, it was about Ben Ali. And everywhere you went, all around the country, whether it was a gas station, whether it was a hotel, whether it was a restaurant, they always had his picture up everywhere, hanging. It was really fucking creepy. Nobody would talk badly about him. It was kind of strange. But it was maybe 6 months afterwards that I left that the Arab Spring happened. And
Did you plant the seeds for the Arab Spring?
Who knows? For most of the people there, my friend John and I were the only Americans they'd ever met in their lives. So you never know.
Wow. I'm going to step away just for a minute to see what's going on with the thing that Kyle's involved in right now and see if we can continue with phone calls. I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Enjoy. Yeah.
All right. He's taking the headphones off so we can talk about him now.
Yeah, he has no idea. I don't know what the hell is going on. He just gave you the finger, though. So maybe he did hear you.
Maybe he just assumed I would say something like that because he's known me for a long time.
Okay, we have a question from the chat that we can discuss because I'm sure we all have opinions about it. Tim in Connecticut says, what's the best way from Grand Central Station to the New Yorker Hotel with luggage?
Oh, what the hell would that be? So, can you take the 7 over or something?
I think you can.
Yeah. Hang on.
Doesn't the E stops right under Grand Central, doesn't it?
No, that's the Port Authority. That's the Port Authority.
Yeah.
Okay. Grand Central.
Grand Central Station.
Metro
North.
Grand Central Metro North.
So this is the point of the, this is the part of the show where you can ask us a question in the YouTube chat, and we will go online and look it up for you because we're good at that sort of thing.
Because initially my instinct is, especially if you have bags, would be to get like a Lyft or an Uber or a cab, flag a cab.
Yeah, there'll
definitely be plenty
of
Grand Central.
The other bonus of a cab is you're on street level the whole time. You'll get to look around, see a little bit of, you know, touristy midtown sights.
You won't have to carry your bag up and downstairs.
Yes, you won't have to drag your bag up and downstairs.
Don't use Uber unicycle when you have luggage. That was, you know, that was always a mistake.
Uber unicycle?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tim, I know there are many ways to do it. I'm sure that, you know, you've done the research. My instinct, again, would be to take a cab.
Yeah. I mean, if you're comfortable, like you're not heavily encumbered by your luggage, like it's on wheels and you can walk around comfortably without straining, you might just want to walk downtown. It's you know, 8 blocks. It's if the weather is cooperative, of course. But it is not a bad walk, I think, if you're comfortably rolling stuff and maybe not dragging stuff or carrying stuff.
See, you are more adventurous than I, because I would not want to go that many avenues in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. It's
an experience
if you're into that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And as long as we are having the discussions about other people are asking questions. Sarah, they won't mind. A cab driver will not be angry taking you from JFK in rush hour.
Oh no, they will enjoy the opportunity. They'll be having a great time.
Just make sure
at the airport you get into the taxi stand with the actual yellow cabs and do not go anywhere with some random dude standing around just saying taxi, taxi, because that man is not a taxi.
Yes. You're going to want to be in a yellow cab. There are official flat rates from JFK to Manhattan. It's not an inexpensive proposition as far as these things go, but you're not going to be running the meter, even in rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Tim, that trip, not super long, you're going to be in the congestion zone, so there will be a bit of a surcharge, but not so much. It won't be incredibly inexpensive. But also, yes, you could take the air train from JFK to the A or the E or the C, for that matter.
Yeah, and that's right at Penn Station.
And that will take you right to Penn Station, which is across the street from the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's $70 from JFK. Rebel, I seriously thought you were going to sleep.
Rebel's still active in the chat after sounding very, very ready for bedtime.
Well, after having announced at the beginning of the show that he was also going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we hear you.
I can't hear you. Wow. Well, I'm taking over Carl's station right now because he's still doing stuff. But what I can do is I can pick up the phone over here and then move back over to where I usually am. So 802-321-4225, if anyone wants to call in, I think I can pick it up without screwing it up too badly.
Okay, then when you do that, we'll greet the caller, and you can scooch around your area there to the other mic.
Okay, well, take your time greeting the caller, because they're not going to be up on the board until I get over there.
Ah, well, okay then. All right, so you can, shall we give out the number?
I just did, but you go ahead and do it too.
802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. And get in touch with us. And as we come to, I think, probably the end of another one here. But we're being asked about parking discounts. Are any parking discounts available by Hope? I don't imagine there would be, because parking in Midtown Manhattan is kind of a nightmare at the best of times.
Well, it depends on a bunch of things. I mean, there's even free parking in Manhattan if you know what you're doing. Residential areas, you can definitely park for free. It gets competitive. There are open lot parking areas. There are garages. You might want to go through the hotel. There's all kinds of options. You can park in an outer borough and take a subway in, or you can just take mass transit to start with. I mean, we're right next to the biggest mass transit hub in the entire country. So, you know, that's a good thing to take advantage of, not worry about your car, because, you know, having a car parked on the street is always something that you're not going to be forgetting about. You won't be able to really relax knowing your car is somewhere and you have to make sure it's not there at a certain time. So look into the options, ask around. It's, you know, this is one of the easiest places in the world to get to.
It absolutely is. And yeah, we can, you can take Amtrak. You can, if you haven't been to Moynihan Train Hall, that's a lot of fun.
New Jersey, Long Island, the railroads go straight into Penn. Yeah, there are many options, and I think a car might be probably one of the less convenient options, all told.
I'm back over here now, because that'll get a call to come in, because I have to get up and walk all the way over again to pick up the call.
Okay, so if you want to make a manual, have to get up and walk to the other side of a studio, give us a call at 802-321-4225.
I'll get my steps in for today.
In the smallish amount of time we've got left. One thing we didn't mention, I'm sure folks know this, but this is our first time doing Hope a year after we've done Hope.
No, it's not.
That's not true.
That is not true. Yeah, that is not true. I misspoke. No, last year was the first time we did that,
mm-hmm.
And
sorry,
we're keeping it going for this time. Sorry, what year is it, and where am I, and who are you people?
We all get old. It's no shame.
Someone rolled a 5 or an 8, and I just got out of Jumanji. No.
This is the hold on, we can rescue this. This is the first even-numbered year of Hope that followed another Hope by 1 year. Last year was the first time we did it, but it was an odd year, 2025. So.
Oh, it was a very odd year.
It was a very odd year.
It was a very odd year. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll come out of that with a little safe face. Right. I appreciate that. But no, yes, it's a yearly conference, and the success of this, I think, will be a factor in dictating if we can keep doing it as a yearly event.
Yeah, that's the whole thing of buying tickets, because that's how we pay for everything, and there's so much. You know, we don't even know for a little while if it was a success until after, you know, all the bills come in. Please help us enjoy it a little bit, too, by not having to agonize and worry about every little penny. We still have a couple of hundred seats that we hope to be able to share with people. Help.net, all the links are there, ways you can buy tickets, ways you can let somebody else into Hope, ways you can participate virtually, and also ways to donate. Donate to the AV Fund at Hope.net.
And it's tax-deductible, and that will be a really wonderful...
Donations would be taxed. Yeah.
Donations,
yes.
To things like the AV fundraiser and the scholarship fund are definitely tax deductible. And you can, if you are a person with an individual retirement account and you have to take required minimum deductions, you can make a pre-tax gift, a qualified charitable donation straight to the Hope on Planet Earth Foundation and reduce the amount of tax you have to pay on your RMD.
Let me just correct you on one thing. The scholarship is not tax deductible because that goes through 2600, and that's not the nonprofit. Hope is the nonprofit. So
my apologies.
The AV fund, it's a common mistake. We struggle with it too. But the AV donations that goes on the Hope.net site, and it'll be very clear there that that's tax deductible. And also, you know, any donations to Hope on Planet Earth, the nonprofit. Those are, you know, if you have a company, if you know somebody in a company or matching funds, all that kind of thing, all that is tax deductible if it's made to Hope.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
That's it. You're cut off.
Well, on that note, I think we're all cut off because we didn't get any calls. Oh, wait.
It happens.
Did I hang up the phone? I'm not sure if I hung up the phone. Let me go back over there and check to see if I didn't hang up the phone.
Okay. Well, while he gets up and goes over there to check to see if he didn't hang up the phone, we can just continue to thank the folks who have been sticking with us.
Yes, we have still, like, 49. Rebel, I can kick you out if that would make it easier for you. Because Rebel said, could you talk softer? I'm trying to sleep here.
And he has been typing snoring in the chat, which is dangerously
the equivalent of a toner. Remember the toners from the 90s telecoms back in the day? Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry,
and,
what?
Yes, when...
Yeah,
when
so,
okay, I thought
so
it was strange.
Manuals.
I thought it was strange we weren't getting any calls, but apparently you have to hit the off button whenever anybody hangs up, and I never did that, so the phone's been off the hook the whole time. I'm sorry. So we'll give it another few minutes, 802-321-4225. Let's see if anybody is still out there.
Okay. While we're waiting, do you want to keep up explaining what toners were, Alex?
Oh, yeah. So if you set up an illicit teleconference back in the day where, you know, a bunch of phone freaks and hackers would get together and exchange information, and it would be billed to somebody else's phone line per line that was active or per port, and they, as they called it, these exorbitant fines, always billed to somebody else, amazingly. There'd always be one person, you know, usually late at night when the code for the teleconference had gotten out to people that it shouldn't have gotten out to, and there'd be somebody just holding down a touch tone, just annoying people. People would be talking, and then some jerk would be a toner, start pressing the touch tones. That was a toner. So I think that's the equivalent of what Rebel was doing.
Are you gonna talk about pulsers at all? Because, boy, they annoyed the hell out of me.
The pulsers, I guess that could be even
worse. No, somebody would hit the zero on a rotary phone, and you'd have to hear the whole thing go all the way back around. Oh, we have a phone call. I'm going to walk over and get that phone call. I'll be back in a few minutes.
All right.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
Whoever's calling, be patient while our dude goes around to the phone to pick it up. And
someone said, "Ooh, extended overtime." Yes, the beauty part of overtime is we can go as long as we want, and sometimes we do.
As long or as short as we want, and if we are lucky enough to have a caller here, we can greet them upon Emmanuel's return to his other.
I'm back. I hit the on button, and it didn't work at first. I hit it again, and I think it worked. So let's see if we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, hi. Yes. I just wanted to ask a quick question about the event coming up.
Sure.
And why don't you have a system where you can, you know, because people like myself who can't make the event, I mean, I would have happily paid to watch it online, you know, paid a certain amount of money to watch it online.
Well, that's what the virtual ticket is for. That's what the virtual ticket is.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
You get a way to buy it online?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a virtual ticket. It's $99 for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
If you go, you know where the store is where the tickets are?
No. How do I do that?
Go to store.2600.com, and you'll see a big ticket icon at the top. You click that. That'll take you to the in-person tickets, but at the bottom of that page, there's a link to the virtual tickets, and you should be fine.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that existed.
No, I guess we should do a better job. We should do a better job telling people about that.
Okay, wonderful. That's my question. Thank you.
All right, take care. Have fun. Wow, that's the first call, first call I ever took. I have to get up now and hit the off button, so hang on a second.
This is amazing. So yes, Emmanuel is getting out of one seat now, walking across the production desk there to another console to turn off the phone, and then he's coming back to his normal seat and microphone, putting his headset back on, and stop talking
about
it.
We don't need the play-by-play. I mean,
I'll
do this transparently, but yeah. I don't know why the buttons are so far away, but it works when there's two people. When it's one person, it gets kind of absurd. So the phone line is open again because I just opened it, 802-321-4225. This will be the last call because I'm getting out of breath.
Yeah, it's getting late here. This is a long time. Yeah.
It's getting late here. I'm sure it's getting late in Switzerland.
Well, have you guys been to Africa at all? Have you ever been there? No?
You're not asking me again. Oh, you didn't forget to do I already answered this question, right?
Yes.
Yes. No, I remember you wanted to go even to Morocco.
Even to Morocco? Okay, good. Yeah. I remember that. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I even remember that. It's true.
I mean, I'm not going to play Sun City, but apart from that, I'd love to see Africa sometime.
Yeah. I mean, Africa is one of my favorite songs, though, by the way.
What, by Toto? Yeah. Oh, my God. I just lost so much respect for you.
That song has great lyrics. The lyrics, read the lyrics to the song. I think they're fantastic. And I think it's a wonderful musical song.
Well, I'm curious how does a band go from Hold the Line to Africa? I mean, I'm curious about that. But
Africa's a great song, I think, objectively. Well, I would like
another phone call. I would continue this, but I'll be back.
All right, so I'm going to mention the scansion of the line in the second verse that almost got me kicked out of my college a cappella group.
It has to do with Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. Yeah, but I had the solo on that, and it took me so long to grasp the scansion of that line that they almost threw me out.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned this once years ago.
I'm sure I have, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, many years ago.
It's a fun story to tell, yes.
Let's see if my second phone call is a success. Good evening, you're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, your engineering efforts are a success. A little telephonic history for you.
Oh, you're the telephone guy with all the telephone knowledge, right?
Well, I'm the ham with the telephone knowledge or the telephone guy with the ham knowledge or both.
Okay.
Anyway, now, going back to the mid-1960s, I was probably about eight or so, and WABC at the time had spots running for the 1964 World's Fair, and the first mass calling thing was a number you could call for the traffic conditions going to the World's Fair, which was 212-999-1234.
Oh, wow.
Remember, I called it, got a recording, and then my parents yelled at me when they get a toll charge on the phone bill.
Wow. You know what? That brings back memories, because I do remember now 999 used to be for things like time and weather for a little while. And I think it turned out to be an exchange for fire departments later.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And also, a little bit of trivia going back to information calls that you talked about. In the 1970s, it was one particular information service was interesting. It was when you wanted to call information in San Juan, Puerto Rico, area code 809.
Mm-hmm.
You would call it sometimes, and you would get an operator in Jacksonville who would then dial a number in Puerto Rico. Then other times, I don't know why this was different, you would get a circuit to Puerto Rico directly and bypass the Jacksonville operator. It was a really strange quirk of the North American numbering plan back in the 70s.
Wow. Do you remember the 903 and 905 area codes that went to Mexico?
Yeah, that was Mexico, only certain parts of Mexico. Before that, the only way you could reach Mexico was if you were an operator and you would dial, I think, 189+.
Okay.
Plus, like if you wanted an inward operator, it'd be 189-121, et cetera.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was kind of a shortcut. And then they introduced the 706 area code, but they didn't tell the operators about it before we found it. And I had a radio show back in the early 80s, and we called it on the air, and then we asked an operator, where does this go? And the operator said, there is no 706. So then we hung up, called it, proved that there was, called the operator again, got the same operator who was angry that we went around him and called 706. And then he had to figure it out himself and said, that's Mexico. It's like, okay, thank you for telling us.
That's really bizarre, but it's really wild. And oh yeah, one other thing, Alex, how you doing in the ham studying? Any particular problems you got or whatever? Or
he's been going out at night. He's been going out at night. He's not studying like he should.
No, you're right about that.
Yep. Okay, if you don't get your ticket on and hope we're going to have to harass you a little bit.
Yep, I know. Kidding. That's fine. You guys can rip me. That's fine. I haven't been studying as much as I should.
We'll harass you in a good-natured way, believe me.
That's fine. I don't mind a little harassment every once in a while. I think it's everybody needs it, in all things in moderation, right? And
absolutely.
But I have been studying a little bit, and I do intend to take it. I'm just going through at work right now. It's an unbelievably busy time, and behind on a little writing, but I do plan on hopefully getting up to speed over the next few weeks.
Next two weeks.
I understand. Well, you'll do fine. I think you'll do fine. So positive vibes in your direction, my friend. And
Thank you. That's about it for me, guys.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call. It's always good to hear from you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. And that's a great call to end with, I think, because...
I'll tell you, I love these phone calls.
Yeah.
From the old school phone freaks.
And Kyle is back. Kyle's back.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Dr. Nick is here, too. I hit the off button. I went 10 minutes before I realized I had to hit the off button. I just assumed we were getting no phone calls. So I went over there, hit the off button. Then a phone call came in. I went back, hit the on button. Then came back, had a conversation, went back, hit the off button.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Except for all the getting up and walking around, because you're already sitting over there.
Well, I have a little thing. I was going to make a remote, easy button for you, but I haven't built that into our little setup yet. I need some, arcade buttons or something.
I don't understand why there's an off button. Why isn't hanging up enough? Okay, well...
Because we were controlling it through a proper...
I guess I'm not really hanging up. I'm just turning it down, so...
Yeah, you're muting it on your
output.
Just,
yeah, a cell phone knows when you've hung up. You don't have to hit a button that says hang up.
Yeah, I'm just in charge of the phone call. I'm not the audio engineer. You're doing the engineering.
All right. Well, you know what? I think we're done here because we've been at this a long time and we're starting to lose focus. Please write to us, oth@2600.com. Make your plans to come to Hope. Spread the word because that's really where we have trouble is getting word out. Getting media attention, unless you're involved in some kind of a scandal, it's almost impossible. It really is almost impossible. So that's where we could really use help, is spreading the word. Let's look at the program. Look at the speakers, the workshops that we have planned, and if you agree that that's awesome, unique, and valuable, let somebody know about it, and make Hope even better. Any closing words, folks?
I just want to thank people for doing that. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you call first.
I just want to say thanks for spreading the word, because that every little bit of that goes such a long way. Like, just telling people, sharing about it, it really matters a huge amount to us. So, I don't know. I just can't thank people enough for talking about Hope, boosting it, sharing, their memories and making plans for new ones, because that's why we're doing this. And if you like it, invest in it a little bit, and I'm guaranteeing you there's a whole lot of people that want to make it worth your while.
Yes, definitely. And it's getting to the point where we're realizing how much fun it's going to be, because so many things are coming together so quickly. So be a part of that. It's definitely going to be something you remember all the time. Any final words, guys, in Signal Land?
I'll just reiterate that I really do believe this is going to be one of the best Hopes ever. I'm excited about it. When I went and visited the space, it's fantastic, and look forward to seeing you all there.
Yeah, support Hope, support WBAI. Fundraising is still going on, buddy.wbai.org, and help keep us doing what we do here and on the radio.
Whoa, on the radio.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Sorry. Couldn't help it.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week for the call-in show on WBAI. No overtime next week. And I don't know if there'll be one the week after that, because I think that's the show right before Hope. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.